It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
And returning to the Cut Forecast for the first time since the Yankees were eliminated in the postseason, Ian K. Welcome back to the Cut Forecast.
A lot of things have happened since like mid-October when I last appeared. I don't know why you would pick that particular milestone to denote the amount of time since you last invited me on the podcast.
Yeah. Something else that happened in that time is that the Yankees acquired Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, that happened.
That's the thing that happened. We have a lot to get to today. You don't need Ian and I to trash talk each other. We're going to talk about all the players who have posed for photographs with animals. That is a thing that is now a trend in Major League Baseball. We'll also discuss babies who are playing baseball.
Because so fun.
It's the hot stove, and this is what is hot and stovey. We are also going to talk about Whit Merrifield, who appeared on a game show, but not in America. And we'll talk about a game show that happens on your phone. Wonder which one that could be, and how it relates to a certain baseball club that plays in Queens. And then we will finish up with hashtag no offseason, because there is hashtag no offseason, and we have Cut 4 resident fitness expert Ian K.
Yes.
To walk us. You
what?
You ran a half marathon, Ian. Don't think we don't remember that.
It was a full marathon. I'm inflating it. We're just going with that.
That's right. But before we get to all of that, Gemma, we got an email from a reader a few days ago. I don't know if you remember this. Maybe it was last week. Saying, hey, what happened to the Cut Forecast pop quiz? And I said, you know what? What a good question.
No.
What did happen to the Cut Forecast pop quiz? Well, guess what? It's back. If you're a longtime listener of the Cut Forecast, or if you, I believe this was reader Ezra, if you went and listened to all of our podcasts, if you binged all of them, some people have done that, or if you have been listening from the beginning, you will know that we used to do a little segment on this podcast called the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz. It's very simple. I don't tell Gemma or Ian about it, and then I give them a question that they have to answer. Today's edition is Hall of Fame themed, and it is pretty simple. There are many players on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. A subset of those players have never been on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot before. Who can name more of them? We will start with one of you, and then you'll take turns. The first person to either space or say somebody who is not on the ballot or say somebody who it's not their first year on the ballot, they are eliminated. Who would like to go first?
Oh, I'm going to be out so fast.
It's really hard being put on the spot. Now, the fun part about this is that Cut 4 actually has a series called the Hall of Fame case about all of these players. So this is also a question of who remembers the articles on our very own website the best. Considering he is in charge of our website and considering his team traded for Giancarlo Stanton, we will have Ian K. go second.
Okay.
Gemma gets to go first.
The thing about the pop quiz is, like, remember how much you hated high school? And remember the worst part of high school? And that's Cut Forecast pop quiz.
It's pretty great. All right, Gemma, give us a player who this is their first year on the Hall of Fame ballot.
Chipper.
Yes.
Kevin Millwood.
Yes.
Vizquel.
Yes.
Orlando Hudson.
Yes.
Scott Rowland?
Yep.
Jamie Moyer?
Yes.
Andrew Jones.
Yep.
Oh man, that was mine. Vlad?
No.
Oh, I win.
Gemma wins.
Which is good, because I don't think I had much more to go.
I think this was Vlad's second year.
I think
he was
right.
On last year. Here are some of the names you didn't name. Jim Thome.
Yeah, that would have been my second. That would have been my next one.
Johan Santana, Johnny Damon, Carlos Zambrano, Chris Carpenter, Levon Hernandez, Kerry Wood, Carlos Lee, Aubrey Huff, Hideki Matsui, Jason Isringhausen, and of course, Brad Lidd.
I only had two more in the tank. I only had Matsui and Damon in the
tank. It's hard.
Because of your post about Johnny Damon.
It's hard being put on the spot for this.
Yeah.
It is. But you guys actually did better than I thought you would. So that is good.
Thank you.
Easy for you to say holding the list of names.
That's the fun of the Cut Forecast pop quiz is that I'm in charge. Let us move on, however, and let's talk about animals, because this has been a hot stove of animals.
That sounds illegal.
The hot stove. It's been the hot-blooded hot stove
Not in every case.
Not
actually,
in every case.
Not in either case that I can immediately.
That's true. That's true. We noticed that Noah Syndergaard worked out with a snake, which is cold-blooded, so Gemma's right about that. And Anthony Rizzo swam with the sharks in the Bahamas. That happened.
Are they cold? Are fish cold-blooded?
Fish.
I think they're cold-blooded.
I don't know. What a good question. Gemma,
what a good question.
Gemma is going to consult our senior science correspondent and find out, a.k.a.
the
Google.
Internet.
Yeah. But Ian, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's Noah Syndergaard had this photo of himself with this snake draped around him. He tweeted about it, comparing it to He Who Must Not Be Named snake. What is it, Nagini?
Yeah.
And Gemma is the queen of Harry Potter trivia.
I'll take that.
Professor Snake, right?
Oy.
Well, I guess if you can come for Dakota's Star Wars love, I should expect you to make fun of how much I love Harry Potter.
Most sharks
are cold-blooded.
Most sharks are cold-blooded. Well, there you go.
Some are partially.
Is Jeff Samardzija cold-blooded? Okay, let's talk about actual animals here. I think the only thing that makes Noah Syndergaard more threatening is having a snake around him, and I wish he would pitch with the snake around his neck.
Oh my
God. That would be like really awesome. Ian, do you have any thoughts on Noah Syndergaard and his snake, or Anthony Rizzo and his sharks?
Why, yes, I do. baseball players are making a lot of bad decisions this offseason.
Okay.
Snakes and sharks are among the many animals you should never go near. In fact, Anthony Rizzo voluntarily submerging himself in a body of water is just a colossally stupid thing to do. Why would you ever go into the ocean? Nothing good is in the ocean. Only bad things are in the ocean.
That's quite the take.
Especially
this is amazing.
Sharks.
Amazing.
Dipping a foot into the ocean is asking for that foot to get bit off by a snapping turtle.
Okay.
But, like, voluntarily approaching a shark, a machine designed to kill, like, the only thing that that shark is built for is just eviscerating other creatures. Mm-hmm. And then to voluntarily approach it and, like, interact with it is just asking to lose at least a limb, if not your life. They're not the only ones. Where, like, a month ago, Jason Kipnis went scuba diving. Again, why? And then fist bumped an eel.
Yeah, that did happen.
Why would you? It's just, like, gonna bite off your finger or your hand or electrocute you. Like, it's just essentially a live... It's like...
You do know that not all
like
eels
going up
are electric
to,
eels.
It's like seeing a down power line in the street and then just to find out whether it's electrified, touching it.
Is that what it's like? Have you ever eaten eel?
Yeah, it's disgusting. Gross. It's all slimy. Like a snake, it doesn't even have legs, just trying to crawl around you and suffocate you or poison you. Or both at the same time.
So your take is never go in the ocean.
Correct. That's absolutely never go in the ocean.
Especially if you're a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, they're more valuable than the rest of us. Pools, maybe. But there can be an alligator in a pool. I've seen it.
So do you swim or no?
I can swim. Yeah, I love swimming, like indoors.
Okay,
indoors?
Okay.
Chlorinated is a must. If it's not a chlorinated body of water, I'm not going in it.
Okay. So indoor pools is your, like, that's it.
Outdoor pool, if it's clear and I can see the bottom and we're not in a climate where alligators live.
I feel like if you're at an outdoor pool and you can't see the bottom,
yeah,
you should not go in that pool.
Yeah.
I need to inspect it.
But like no lakes, no oceans.
Yeah, no rivers.
Definitely not.
What about like a babbling brook?
Haven't you ever seen, we don't even know what's in the ocean. Like every week they're pulling out new fish with like a headlamp on it. Or like that big fish with three eyes. Or when like a thing will just wash up and on the beach and it's like some fisherman's like, oh, I just pulled this out of my net and I've never seen it before, but it looks like a dinosaur. And then it just, we never think about that again, but there's like probably thousands of them in some trench.
Every week
and the only
just
thing,
out new fish.
Imagine strapping on an air tank and then diving like 100 meters down and the only thing keeping you alive is an oxygen like tank cord thing.
Yeah, that freaks
that
me.
Could be snipped. And by the way, if you need to like beat a quick extract out of the water, you have to time how quickly you go up so your brain doesn't explode, your blood doesn't boil. So like you have to slowly ascend. Yeah, like a shark is going to slowly follow behind you and not just eat you as soon as it can.
Okay.
Wow. That... Never go in the ocean. Life advice from Ian K.
Also, octopus. Extremely so smart and will eat you from the inside out.
Here's my thing is I agree with you that scuba diving is terrifying. The idea of like going down into the depths and having the oxygen tank and all that. I'm with you there. But the beach is the beach. What's the point of life if you're not going to go into the water on the beach?
The point is retaining your life.
Gemma, do you have thoughts on this insane man?
The beach
opinion?
Is a liquid garbage dump.
Well, you're from New Jersey.
You're from Florida.
Gemma, what are your thoughts on swimming in the ocean, on baseball players posing for photos with various deadly animals, or even eels, which are not deadly despite what certain individuals might want you to think?
So many things have just been said that I don't even know where to begin to engage. But one, my very first and foremost opinion is that eel is delicious and I love eel.
Yep.
One of my favorite foods is probably eel. Just like, you know, with the rice and the eel sauce, yeah. It's delicious. So good. I too am frightened of large bodies of water, so I understand that. I've often said that my greatest fear is that I'll be swimming and a fish would touch me, and it could be the world. It could be the world's most. It could be like a guppy, and I would be like, "I'm dead. I'm dying. I've died," and that would be the end.
I'm afraid of large bodies of water, but it's not. It's the water moving quickly. Like I'm afraid of tsunamis.
I'm afraid of falling off a boat in the middle of the ocean, which is insane. Because why would I ever be on a boat in the middle of the ocean? Cruises are disgusting.
Cruises are fine.
I also do agree that the ocean is a nightmare and full of nightmare creatures. Like, basically, I'm okay with swimming in the beach, but you go a little bit further out and you're like anything, and you just know that it's like a blood orgy beneath you. That's
exactly
what's happening. Just a carnivorous nightmare. Those are things I think.
Okay.
They're all eating each other. The little ones are getting eaten by the medium ones. The medium ones are getting eaten by the big ones. So the big ones are getting eaten by great white sharks.
If you were with Anthony Rizzo, would you pose for a photo with sharks and him?
No.
I would not put myself in that situation.
Even if he was like, come on, guys, get in the water. It'll be cool. And then after we'll go party with the rest of the Cubs. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. You're not invited if you don't do.
So you're saying Anthony Rizzo is peer pressuring us.
Yeah, he's totally.
Like
high
school
style. All the cool
style.
Kids. You're only cool if you swim with sharks like us. What would you do?
I'm going to just say no.
Well, I'll like catch you next time, Chris Bryant. Like, I'm not going in there.
The snake I have a little bit of a different opinion on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's worse.
I think the ocean is worse than the snake. The snake, I mean, when I was a kid, this guy came to our elementary school with like reptiles and other such animals, and we got to like pet them. And I'm sure the reptiles hated us and wanted to eat us because we were little, and they were like, I could totally eat that baby. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be super easy. But they seemed pretty docile and chill and just wanted to hang out. And I know a lot of people have snakes as pets.
Snakes freak me out.
You'd be a psycho to keep a snake.
Yeah, that too. There used to be this creepy dude. He used to just like park his pickup truck behind one of the bakeries that I used to go to.
What?
In New York?
In Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And he would just be there with a giant like python. He would just like hang out in the pickup truck with the python.
I'm sure there's somebody who lives
in
Brooklyn.
Very weird.
Has a snake slithering.
I have a story. I have a gross story about a snake.
Yeah, into the toilet.
That I saw on the subway, and it was the worst subway ever.
Oh, my God.
Never. Just on the ground?
No. It was with a person. It like, belonged to a person, but it was disgusting. This snake seems like it's pretty, like,
it seems
people.
Chill.
It's chill. It does not look like Voldemort's snake.
It did a little bit.
It is blonde. It is a blonde python.
The way that it was around Syndergaard, it kind of looked like when Voldemort is talking. I'm sorry. He who must not be, is talking to Nagini. He's like, no, now go, flee. You can't die. Like, all that stuff. Like, that's kind of how it looked.
I mean, it would be dope and really scary if he like came out with the snake and then handed it off to pitch.
So cool.
That would be,
that'd
really
be so cool.
Scary.
Which baseball player is most likely to have a Horcrux?
What I'm hearing, hang on, is like
Cologne.
A...
He's so well. How is he still playing? It's Bartolo Cologne.
That's
obviously,
like point.
Very close to a Britney Spears cosplay on the mound between the long blonde hair and the snake.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a good.
I'm not against that, but it's aside from being against all.
It's snakes. Definitely a choice. It would definitely be a choice. Okay, let's move on.
To warm-blooded mammal takes, because I have other animals.
Like a reptile mammal.
Yeah, actually.
We also brought a wallaby to our class. That was
You brought a wallaby?
Cool. Yeah, it hopped around. We were all stood in a circle, and it hopped around.
That's not a reptile.
I know. He was the one thing that he had that wasn't a reptile.
So he was just like a zookeeper.
Yeah, but mostly with reptiles and one wallaby.
Okay. Detroit is a very weird place. Let's move on.
Too, anyway.
Let's move on to other animals, the other small animals, like babies.
But I had more actual animal takes.
What are your give me one animal take.
Two animal takes.
Okay. You get two animal takes.
Two animal takes. Robinson Cano
went
to Israel, to Jerusalem, and rode a camel.
That did happen.
I too have gone on Birthright. The camel ride is extremely uncomfortable. It's like a horse, but worse. I get that Robbie did it for the gram, which I respect. But I really want to know, like, how far, because we rode across what felt like the entire desert, and it was not enjoyable.
Was it actually the entire desert? How long were you on the camel?
It felt
14
like
minutes.
It felt like I was fleeing Egypt for the promised land.
So
it felt like 100 years of wandering is what it felt like on the camel.
It is kind of odd that Robinson Cano chose Israel.
Sure.
I don't know. It seems like an odd vacation destination.
It is.
If you're picking anywhere in the world. What is your second take?
Shout out to Mark Melanson, the only good animal interaction of this offseason. He hugged a sheep in New Zealand.
He did.
Which is a life goal of mine.
Yeah. We went deep on that on the last episode of the Co-Forecast. You were not invited, so I understand that you clearly want to talk about the sheep.
You were only invited here because Dakota knew how much you hated the ocean.
Yeah, that was really, you know, we just wanted to go deep in the ocean. Okay, let's now talk about babies, because there is a baby named Asher Willig. He is the son of former minor league baseball player Corey Willig. Asher was born on March 8th, 2016. And according to Instagram, this is a podcast about Instagram. According to Instagram, he is quite good at baseball. We have a video on MLB.com/cut4 of him hitting baseballs off a tee, thrown to him. It's very impressive. He's like two. It's super impressive. Gemma, give me a scouting report.
Since it is hot stove time, I feel like any team should just pick him up right
now. Yeah.
I mean, he's got some pop. He's got a lot of enthusiasm.
I can report that there's a mystery team that is in on Asher Willig.
Oh, really? Really? Yes, really? Wow. I think what's so great about him is that the bat is clearly heavier than his entire body is, probably. And he's obviously real strong. He's got a lot of upper body strength, obviously, because he can pick it up.
That's true. He's jacked.
My favorite part about his swing is that he does not stay still for any point during it at all whatsoever, because he's not even two. He's like 22 months, I think. So walking is also probably about at the same level of his baseball. So like he's got to stay up and hold the bat and swing. He's got to constantly be moving. It's like Ichiro, you know, always moving. So
he just needs to hit home runs and hits that he doesn't have to walk.
There you go.
That's the move.
This
then he could crawl around the
truly
bases.
Adorable.
The players in MLB would be offended by that if he hit a home run and then he's like crawling around the bases. They'd be like, get up and run. Ian, what did you have to think about Asher?
Well, I don't want to see anybody's kids on Instagram unless they're professional athlete status. So
unless the child is a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Ian did share earlier yesterday a photo or a video on Instagram of a watch having coffee poured over it. If you want a sense of what Ian's Instagram looks like, it's an expensive watch having coffee brewed on top of it.
I just go where the algorithms tell me.
But do you think that which baseball team should sign Asher?
First of all, every baseball team, because no baseball teams are signing anybody.
Yes.
So I'm here for the content.
If we sound a little slap happy, it's because we've been locked in this building for 3 months. We haven't been outside. We haven't seen the sun, and there is no baseball news, and we're going insane.
Yeah, more like the knot stove.
Oh.
Which team should sign him? I feel like it's got to be a team who's early in the rebuild process, who can kind of wait for him to develop.
Mm. Oh, clever.
You know, like the Braves, I think they're like midway maybe through. The Phillies maybe a little closer. So that sort of club, you know, who's going with a youth movement. would be a good fit.
That is a good idea. You want the age curve, you want him to be sort of right with the rest of the players.
Exactly. So, like, based on the free agency, he's got 6 years of control, so he's going to hit free agency around age 8.
Okay.
So you got to make sure you're ready to contend before then.
That's tough. That's a short timeline.
It is.
8 years old. Wow. Okay. Let us move on to shirtless Whit Merrifield. This was Michael Clare's favorite pose of the year.
Was it, though?
Why?
Although, I don't know. He is weird.
He's kind of low on this one.
Yeah, well, at any rate, Whit Merrifield was on a Japanese game show called Sports Grand Prix Top Athletes.
Real.
That sure, that's a thing. I'm sure that it sounds more elegant in Japanese, I would imagine. But the idea is I think celebrities competing in physical challenges, sort of like Double Dare, if you remember that
show. But
they're
athlete celebrities, like Justin Gatlin was on
it. Yeah, well, so this particular competition, it was him and Justin Gatlin and a Nippon professional baseball player named Haruki Nishikawa. And they were doing this thing that involved like a volleyball dropping to the ground and having to touch it before it hit the ground, kind of like Jax. It was weird. He did pretty well. He didn't win. But I was just super psyched to see somebody on a Japanese game show, as that is my personal dream, is to be on a Japanese game show. And I think more baseball players should do it because, as you know, baseball, Japan, I mean, it's like peanut butter and chocolate. And so, like, it goes together well, is my point. They love baseball over there. That's what I'm getting at. Gemma's making a face at me.
I don't like peanut butter.
Ugh. Terrible. Who would be on your? Who else do you want to see on a Japanese game show? And then who would be on your like all game show team? Like if you were like, I want to see these guys be on a game show.
Can I ask a question first?
Yeah, of course.
Why was he shirtless?
God only knows.
Do we know?
God only knows. It. You know. Sometimes dudes just like to pop the shirt off.
He started wearing one of those tanks that doesn't that has like the big armholes, you know. And then I guess as he was running, whatever, no more shirt.
Unclear. He like took it off, I think.
Yeah.
In the video,
it happens. I mean, every time we try to shoot a video with Jake and Jordan, Jake tries
someone's
to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
So like,
I wish that was a joke.
That's a real thing. Sometimes dudes just pop their shirts off. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, we can apologize for it. It is what it is. But, like, who else would you want to see on a game show?
He had a very baseball, like, semi-dad bod. Was pretty much expected. It also looks super fun just be that athletic. Like, the ball falling challenge he did looked really easy, but I guarantee is impossible if you're an average athlete. So that was fun to see. I think many baseball players would be good at this. I like Correa for sure. Any of the like long, lean kind
of
Hamilton.
Any
too,
of the fast
Deagle
guys.
And the speed
guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The question is like, if we had an all game show team, like, are we building it to win at the most possible game shows?
Ooh, I like that.
So you want someone like Dee Gordon, but then you also want someone who could like get a trivia round in a different game show. Like then we need someone who like we know just probably spends a lot of time. Like watching The Price is Right, so maybe they have some, you know, you want to figure that stuff out too, right? Is that what this is like?
I think so. Well, let's
game show where there's one round of every kind of thing, or is it just like American Gladiator and then we just go with Giancarlo?
He is an American Gladiator.
Yeah.
I'll say this: we were talking about Double Dare. That was Double Dare. There was questions, and then you would answer it, and then if you didn't answer the question, you had to do the physical challenge. So I think it's like that. So you have to have a combination of brains and brawn. So I don't know. Ryan Braun, obviously, that's probably the first person you would
then
want
that could be his team name.
Brains
and
Braun. Who would be the brains?
Well, how many people get to be on the team? Is it a Double Dare team?
If
like
it's
five
Double Dare,
people?
Was it five or was
like,
two?
It was like family-sized, right.
There was both family and original OG Double Dare.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all millennials here. we can dig deep on Double Dare. We'll do the family one. Yeah, so you would want, like, who's your smart guy?
Like, Sean Doolittle?
Okay.
Yeah.
He has good, well, because a lot of those questions are, like, kind of pop culture.
Pop culture. He reads, like, novels, so that's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's
a
good, brains.
That's kind
that's
of a good
start.
Yeah. And then you'd have, like, Ryan Braun, Sean Doolittle, you want a speedy guy, so, you know, Billy Hamilton, Dee Gordon.
Yeah.
Somebody like that.
I feel like you want a guy that's just, like, huge.
Yeah.
Like just a giant, like a giant, Judge? Like, or like Betances or someone.
Oh,
like
Betances
like a
is good.
Huge guy.
Because there could be like a physical pick challenge up off high shelf.
Or even
challenge.
Still, like if we're thinking
supermarket
about
Supermarket
Sweeps. Oh, man. Yeah, I love that show. Supermarket Sweeps.
Or, but like even in the physical challenge, you know, like you could just like intimidate someone away by being like, oh, you have to like climb, like you have to crawl through this eclair and get the thing in cream. Like a giant guy is just going to muscle his way through there.
Here's the problem with that is there were sometimes challenges where it was like you had a balloon of slime and you had to throw it at your teammate to fill up like a bucket. And he would just throw it so hard that you like everybody would get hurt and that would be it.
Well, would you have him do that? Or would you be like,
you'd be like, we can't trust
you'd
you,
be
Dylan.
Like, Billy, go ahead. This one's you.
That's probably the better idea. I loved this. As I said, my dream is always to be on a Japanese game show because all those Nickelodeon game shows were based on Japanese game shows.
Yeah,
and so I think that's why I was programmed as a child to want to do it.
I once saw baseball players on a Japanese game show.
Oh, tell
what?
Us more.
Tell.
Somewhere in the middle of the 2014 Japan All-Star Series, they filmed an episode of a show called Junk Sports. Junk was like, I think, a transliteration of a Japanese word. And it was a crazy experience to see. I know Kano, Altuve, I was looking through my photos before. Chris Carter and Justin Morneau were the four MLB players who were on it. And then Nori Aoki, Junichi Tozawa, and Tasashi Saito were also there. And there were, like, these hosts, and they were, like, what you'd think of for Japanese game show hosts, like, super high energy, yelling, like, running around the studio. And the best part was the American, or the MLB players had, like, microphones in their ears, kind of like the UN. And so the thing, the speeches would get translated for them. But, like, the hosts were absolutely roasting them. Kano, I guess, had a gold Ferrari or something. And the host is just, like, ripping on him. And then everyone would laugh. And he would find out what the guy said, like, 10 seconds later. And would, like, try to respond. But he had already gotten roasted and then everything moved on. It was like that for, like, 15 minutes.
Boy, that's my life.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
Honestly, it was, like, a very light game show element. And mostly like a talk show with, like, 8 contestants just sitting there. And they never gave us the footage to use in on the U.S. site. But it exists somewhere. Maybe somebody can find it.
It was a talk show?
I think it was like a loose game show, talk show sort of combo thing. It was very strange. And no one explained to anyone, either me or the players or anybody else there, like what was going to happen. They just like mic'd him up and sat him down.
That's the way to do it.
And, yeah, nobody had any idea what was happening.
That's my like my dream Japanese game show scenario is like I'm just in Japan and then randomly like a wall opens and I'm on a game show. I have to like figure out the rules of the game show while it's happening. That's great.
I'm going to write a YA novel with that exact premise and they're going to make it into a movie and make millions of dollars.
Do it. That's good. For it. Speaking of game shows, there is an application that you can download onto your telephone. I sound very hip and cool.
Yep.
It recreates the experience of playing a game show. It's called HQ Trivia. You may have heard about it recently because all of your friends are probably like, oh my God, are you playing HQ Trivia? And it swept through our office. For example, it's almost 3 o'clock right now as we're recording this on Wednesday. And pretty much, if we're not done, Ian will start playing the game at 3. So that's the hard time here for us.
Gemma won the game.
Well, I was going to get to that. It's hosted.
Spoiler alert.
It's hosted by a man named Scott Rogowski, along with a stable of other hosts. But he's the main host. And he turns out is a Mets fan and spoke to a blog called The Seven Line, who interviewed him and talked to him about it. Now, Gemma, yes, you have won HQ Trivia.
Yes.
There is a $2,000 prize if you win, but you split it with all the other people who win. So, Gemma, how much did you win?
I won $3 whole and 20 cents.
Ooh.
I know. Well, apparently it was unevenly divided because some people got $3.19. So, look who got an extra cent, this girl.
Did you shove it in those people's faces?
No, I don't know them. They're internet people.
What did you spend your $3.20 on?
I can't spend it because you have to have like $20 to cash out.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's like getting paid in like Monopoly money. And you're like, well, there's nothing I could do with this.
Yeah.
Like, you know what it's like? I used to have
Monopoly money the currency that most sounds like?
No. leaving that one aside, what I was going to actually say is, you know, I used to have this thing where what would be a really funny gift to get somebody is like a $40 gift certificate to like a casual dining restaurant that they hate. So that like, then they get it and they're like, well, I have to eat there because it's a gift card. But, like, I don't want to eat here. And it'd be, like, a fun kind of a prank gift.
Why are you like this?
That's what that's like. It's just like having money that you can't use. That's, anyway. Yeah, so Scott Rogowski is a Mets fan. We learned this in this interview. They asked him which current Mets player he would want to guest host HQ. He answered David Wright. Debatable whether that counts, but he would be an interesting
player. Mets you've been watching.
Why is it not Syndergaard with the snake?
Ew.
That would be a weird episode.
HQ is weird.
He also,
it's just a weird thing.
And the thing about HQ is like it just shows up and you never know who the host is going to be because usually it's Scott but there's a few others. So if it was just Syndergaard with no explanation, like that wouldn't be that strange.
That's a good question. Who do you guys think in baseball should be hosting HQ? Like Lindor? Is it like the personality
it
guys?
Is,
or
it is
like
me. I should be hosting HQ. I am in baseball. Let me guest host HQ.
You did win. I feel like if you win, you should get to replace Scott.
That's
how it should work. Or like he should have to do it every week. And like, yeah, it's so like if you, it's like Ken Jennings on Jeopardy. Like somebody has to beat you to move on. That's what it should be with HQ. And then when you are like, they answer a question against you. And then if they do win, they get to host.
Interesting.
What if you just let me answer the questions and there's no monologue?
Yeah, so there is.
Setting aside my
HQ does start with sort of a lengthy monologue that happens.
It's but it's fun. Frequently full of baseball references.
That is
so
true.
That's
there are a lot of
baseball. Pretty fun.
There really are. I love it. I think it's super fun. We're ragging on it right now, but I think it's really good. And he also, in this, he had some fake quiz-themed nicknames like Quiz Drubal Cabrera. Which is really good.
That's
and
cute.
Then you know he's a real Mets fan because he dug deep for Seth HQ Go. Like Seth Go. How good is that?
Wow.
Micro targeted at Mike Petriello.
He plays HQ, right?
Yeah, Petriello.
I'm sure he does.
Has to. But before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the StatCast podcast hosted by our friends Mike Petriello and Matt Myers. It is a show dedicated to the analytics that drive front office decisions in the modern game, which, Ian, you care about.
I do.
Gemma,
I love front
you
office.
Care about it.
Yeah.
I like, here's what I like in order. I like, number one, the analytics that drive front office decisions. Number two, Mike Petriello. Number three, Matt Myers.
Wow. Petriello above Myers. Wow.
Myers is technically one of my many bosses. So I guess I should make him number one then. The last week's episode of the StatCast podcast discussed a few storylines to get excited for in 2018, including some of Petriello's breakout pitcher picks. Say that 10 times fast. Gemma, say it 10 times fast.
Nope.
To hear all of that and more, download the show from Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts by searching for StatCast Podcast or by going to, Ian, what's the website?
StatCastPodcast.com.
StatCastPodcast.
Yes, I got it right.
.com. Let us move on and talk about the most important hashtag of the century. Twitter has only existed for few years, but I'm gonna say it, 21st century, this is the most important hashtag no offseason. It means there is no offseason. Even though baseball players get all this time to just chill and go on vacation and do whatever, no, they're also staying in shape because there is no offseason. There's no time to just chill and do nothing. You also have to do things like do that rope thing in the gym where people throw the ropes around that I don't really know how it works, but all that kind of stuff. My question to the two of you is...
The thing where you throw the ropes around?
Yeah, that's how it works. You know that I've spent lots of times in gym.
Lots of times in gym. Lots of times in gym I spent.
Gemma, which baseball player had the best hashtag no offseason moment of the hashtag non-offseason?
Well, you know, there are a lot of guys who are just doing your gym workouts, like various pieces of machinery that I don't understand because I hate gyms.
It does seem like they have these weird purpose-built things that don't make sense. Like there are like cubes that people put in other places, and there's like balls that people throw against the wall, and the rope thing, which I really don't understand.
The parachute run thing.
Like, yeah, I love that.
There's all those kinds of things.
The parachute run looks extra painful.
The dream of the parachute run is that you run and can deploy the parachute to help stop. That would be fun. Like you're a race car.
It would be better if it was like a Wright Brothers thing and you assumed that you might actually start flying if you were in fast.
Yeah, it's like you have like wings and you like kind of flap them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But I like the guys who are bringing their workout to unconventional places.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Well, I did identify with the tire smashing. That was great. The hitting the tire with a hammer for some reason because it seemed totally pointless and yet also like I'm sure it was a great workout. You know, because hammers are heavy.
It seems weird.
And it feels like this. It's sort of like I would understand that. Like I just get that on a metaphorical level of like you're just hammering something that doesn't need to be hammered and cannot be affected by the hammer whatsoever.
It would be good. Like it would be therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I really was like, oh, you know what's cool is Carl Santana pushing a car up a hill.
I said the same thing.
That is cool. That is cool. It is not something you're like, oh, I can just see people doing that if I walk by like an Equinox or whatever. No, that's crazy. Who just thinks as part of their fitness routine they're gonna push a car up a hill?
I really want to do it. After I saw that, I was like, I really want to do that. I'm sure it's really hard, and if you mess up, you'll die.
Yes.
Yes.
But I really want to do it.
That's the craziest part. It's like, have you ever tried to start a stick shift like that where you have to like pop the clutch?
Gemma can drive stick, and we can't, and she likes shoving it
okay,
in our faces.
But this is like a bad stick thing, but it's also good, I guess. Like, if your battery's dead or whatever, and you need to jumpstart your car, but you don't have jumper cables, if you have a stick and it's like going down an incline, you can pop the clutch and try to like start the engine and get some whatever. Anyway, it's not really safe because you could just like
roll over.
Roll everywhere, and that's what struck me about this. Yes. Like, we saw some people trying to push a car in the street the other day. Remember when the snow was happening and that guy got stuck in the snow?
Oh, that's right. We did see that.
Tried to push the car through the snow. It's dangerous. Like, I mean, for them, their like feet could have gotten run over. But
my worry.
It's also dangerous that we might have had to help.
Yeah.
My worry is
don't help. Don't go in the ocean. The E&K principles.
My worry is not that I would get run over by the car, but that I would push the car to the top of the hill, go to sleep, wake up the next day, and it would be at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, my God. I guess I did say that hitting the tire with the hammer is pretty metaphorical and reflective of my life, so I guess you get this one.
Ian, what is your favorite hashtag no offseason moment?
I like all of those. Valbuena with the hammer was pretty good, because I like when people do the functional strength.
Okay,
stuff.
Is that functional?
I mean, I don't know.
Hitting a tire with a giant hammer?
It's very rocky.
It's like, is that how they vulcanize rubber?
Oh, good joke.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought they just hit it with a big hammer.
Yes, it is heat.
Well, whatever.
Anyway.
Oh my God, this is why I want HQ.
I also just like Giancarlo Stanton, just the biggest dude lifting the most weights I supported, and I would watch that. Like,
he did it violently. He was ripping down on that rack.
Why is that like only one Instagram and not just a live feed at all times?
What a good question.
The question. Because it's like, he's obviously a big dude, but he's not that big just naturally.
Yeah.
And to see how he gets there is awesome. I wish he put the Chewbacca mask back on.
That was weird. I remember that. Was that last offseason, year before?
I think it was last year. Off-season.
That was weird.
Yeah. He targeted an audience, though. Not sure who it was, but.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither.
Why is Noah Syndergaard's off-season workout no off-season workout, not entirely Game of Thrones themed? That's the question that I have.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about like fun workout. Yes.
That is a workout.
Sure.
Yeah.
He was an extra. He should. Like, I feel like they probably have some drills or whatever.
Walking way, places.
What is the hammer swing functional for? A war hammer. Favorite weapon of, I think, Robert Baratheon.
That's why I thought of it, honestly. Yeah.
Well, I think it is now time.
What a metal way to kill people.
It is now time not to kill people with Robert Baratheon's Warhammer, but to summarize the podcast, which is a reference I understand, which is to summarize the podcast into 280 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. We actually have a summary from last week's episode from @BenitoBayar. He says, cut for Stradamus, which is better than what we came up with.
Yes, so
cut
much
for Stradamus predicts the following headline in 2018, : NL MVP and Cy Young winner Dinelson Lamet leads Padres to World Series title after defeating Sean Doolittle in the Porgs. Lamet says he would celebrate by riding Steel Vengeance with Steven Seagal. which is a very good summary of last week's episode.
Extremely specific to all of our individual weird jokes.
It was good.
So my favorite thing about it is that it implies that next year there will be an entire, or this year, I guess, this next season, there will be an entire team made up of porgs and also Sean Doolittle.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy.
Sean Doolittle probably wants to play on a team of porgs.
Yeah, he would like that, I think.
Are those like the space dogs?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Because you're pretending not to know what Star Wars is, Ian, you have to give us your 280 character tweet first. Although, you know, they don't have to be 280 characters. 280 it's a max. 280 calorie tweet would be even better.
Just be candy.
My pitch for craziest Japanese game show is... stand in the ocean for 1 full minute. Hashtag cut forecast.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
I would win. I would win that pretty easily. Gemma, what do you got? What's your tweet?
The most terrifying no off-season workout is lifting sharks underwater. As Ian K looks on in terror.
Yeah, that's good.
That's kind of weak.
That's pretty good.
I don't know. I've been on an okay streak. That was pretty good.
I know, you are. Okay, here's mine. Here's mine. Do you know how you know there's hashtag no off season, colon? Because babies are beating snakes at baseball on Japanese game shows, period. Hashtag cut forecast.
I feel like I need to call like some kind of wildlife protection organization after
and child
that.
Protection services, yeah. Too. Yeah. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. As you could hear, we read the best ones on the Cut4Cast every week. I don't know why I whispered.
It's a secret. The whole podcast is a secret.
You can go to MLB.com/cut4 and read about all of the content that we discussed today and much more, including all of those Hall of Fame cases about players like Johnny Damon and Kerry Wood and Brad Lidge. You can go to Facebook.com/cut4. You can like our page, and all of that stuff will just appear in your newsfeed automatically. It's so convenient. Thanks, Mark. You can go to Cut4 on Twitter. @cut4. You can tweet with us. You can follow our tweets. You can join the broader conversation that's happening about baseball on the internet. Isn't that exciting? You can email us questions. cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. Any questions you have about why Gemma doesn't like peanut butter, whatever, you can just email them. cut4cast@mlb.com. This is a podcast. It's part of the MLB.com podcast network. If you liked this podcast, you can go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. Maybe your dad transcribes it and then reads it to you over the phone. That's a way some people get their podcasts. I don't know.
Is that really specific to your life?
No, definitely not. You can go to those apps and you can subscribe to this podcast there. While you're there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. Please do that. It helps other people find the show. Ian, welcome back to the Cut Forecast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I hope by the next time I'm on this podcast, the Yankees have 2 Giancarlo Stanton.
It's possible. Gemma, thank you as always for being here.
Of course.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.